Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Nasta'inhu, nastaghfiruhu, wa nu'minu bihi azza wa jalla. We begin with Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. I bear witness there is no God save Allah alone, and that there is nothing worthy of worship or praise except Almighty God, Allah. And I further bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed Almighty God's most humble servant and most noble and generous messenger. All the praise is due to Almighty God, Allah. We ask him for help. We turn to him for forgiveness. We believe and we trust in him. Mighty and sublime is he. As-salatu wa-salamu ala rasulihi kareem. And we pray the prayers and the peace upon Allah's most noble and generous messenger, Muhammad alayhi salam. Assalamu alaikum. That is, peace be unto you. Welcome once more to the airways of American Muslim 360. Hold on while I share this public service announcement with you. We are grateful for everyone that's present. Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid.
presented the female solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah. This is the broadcast of the Female Solution, and I co-host with our beloved sister Naima Latif, the executive director and producer of the Female Solution. I am Kareem Hamid, radio station manager for American Muslim 360, and I enjoy sharing the mic with our beloved sister Naima Latif every Wednesday morning here on American Muslim 360. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. I think she may be ready to make a presentation. Let me open up her mic and see if she is prepared at this time.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Praise
yes.
You. How are you, Naima?
I am just fantastic. I am grateful for another day of opportunity to share, and we hope to inspire and motivate our listening and viewing audience. Of course, I did send you the StreamYard link just in case you want to grace us with your handsome face on screen. So you might pull up on your phone if you desire. We certainly do appreciate your presence here and joining the American Muslim 360 family for another stimulating discussion as we seek to create a new earth, a new future, a new society. And this, of course, is the objective of American Muslim 360 in helping people understand the spiritual principles by which to live so that we may do no harm to others. So today, we want to seriously outline steps it would take to create a justice system where the intention is to restore the peace. We see all over social media angry protests about injustice. We see mistreatment of people, everything from theft to assault. And we see many people going to jail. And as we know, America has the largest prison system in the world, and yet crime has continued to increase. So that lets us know that our current justice system doesn't work because it has become a business, and it has become very lucrative for those who are on the receiving end, whether they be lawyers or judges or even police officers that are hired supposedly to keep the peace, but too often their presence disturbs the peace because they're given quotas of tickets to write and arrests to make as a source of income for cities. So the way the system is designed, it's never going to bring the desired result of a peaceful society. We have to create that, which means we have to envision it. You can't bring something into manifestation until you can visualize what it looks like. And you can't create a negative to say, we don't have justice. This is wrong. Yeah, all that's true, but what does right look like? And we have to see it in order to be it. So protesting what isn't lets us know things need to change. But building what should be is the only way to actually make what should be manifest. So we want to go through that process of creating because it is possible and necessary and our destiny if we choose it to be. One of the things that inspired me was the recent time taken for a friend of mine who had been the victim of assault to try to press charges and try to get an order of protection and try to get some kind of sense of safety from someone whose behavior was out of control. And she went through the whole process only to discover that the court system just wasn't interested in helping her, either restraining the person, bringing about justice, or making her feel safe. And she was very frustrated. And looking at that, I said, it's time for us to actually change this because it isn't working. And if anyone who has been ever the victim of theft or assault and not received some type of feeling of protection or a restoration of their safety, it's very frustrating. I had a friend who was carjacked some time ago, and he went to press charges. They finally found the car. They found the person who stole the car. But for some reason, the courts did not choose to prosecute him. And so this person's still out on the street, still carjacking. And my friend is quite frustrated and angry because in the course of all of that, his car ended up damaged, and he ended up having to try to get a new car, and there was just no compensation and no help. And the police officer, when he went to make the report and found out the person that he had taken his car by force, gunpoint, was arrested. But the police officer at the station said, well, you know, all we can do is do the job of arresting. If the criminal justice system isn't set up to actually prosecute these people, because there have been so much protest about, you know, having all these young people in jail and so forth, well, there's nothing we can do. So, of course, my friend, very angry and frustrated, realizing that someone had violated him and nothing happened. So we have to take a look at this because, you know, in both cases, both people were saying, well, you know what? I'm sick of this. This is why people resort to street justice. I'm going to just go call Pookie and Ray Ray and have them handle it because, you know, we have people who will, you know, inflict bodily harm for a price. But is that really restoring the peace? And so in looking at this, I want us to look at what is it we really want to happen to people who harm people. Do we want them to feel pain if they cause us pain? Do we want them to be removed from society and penalized by being in isolation only to come out again even more damaged? Or do we want them to restore what they damaged in us? Do we want them to repay and repair what was taken from us? Do we want our peace to be restored by them receiving whatever mental and emotional help they need so that they no longer harm others? What is it we really want to happen when someone does something that is harmful? So today we're going to hash out and create so that we can actually manifest what we want. And so we're talking about how to create a justice system that restores peace. And we want you all to call in. You can call in to Blog Talk numbers 515-605-9891, 515-605-9325, or you can call in on our on-air radio network at 727-731-5192. And, of course, those numbers are streaming across the screen that you can call in. And we enjoy hearing your thoughts because so many people have experienced victimization and are hurt and angry and traumatized. But we want to actually create something that needs to manifest in our lives and in our society and in our culture. And mass incarceration is not working. People are still broken from the pain of whatever injury they received. So what is it a person should do if they have harmed you? We want to talk about that and come up with a list of actions that should be taken so that there really is a restoration of peace. So that's our topic today. And again, we invite you all to call in and, of course, participate in this discussion. You can write in your comments if you're joining us live on Facebook or YouTube, The Female Solution, and we will share those comments with our listening and viewing audience. So, Brother Kermaine, your thoughts? Have you ever had a situation where someone has violated you or a loved one, and you've had to go to the criminal justice system, you've had to press charges, you've had to have someone arrested, or maybe you've been someplace where somebody wanted to start a fight and had to be physically restrained, and perhaps you've had to call somebody or call police if someone has stolen something from you. And maybe you got back the stolen item and maybe you didn't. But either way, what needs to be done to make that situation right again? And that's the whole thing. How do you make it right? And does locking someone up, if they stole something from you, make it right? If you never get your stolen item back and they're not really sorry they took it, they just are sorry they got caught, and you don't feel any safer now than you felt before. So, first of all, you know, what are your thoughts on creating such a system that actually does restore the peace?
Praise be to Allah. You know, we are all inundated with this rising crime. No doubt about that. There is a serious concern about the rise in crime and accountability. You know, here in St. Louis, we had a prosecuting attorney, Kim Gardner, and she was trying to address the issue of someone languishing in jail, awaiting trial, and her and those with her was trying to come up with some type of a mechanism or system whereby they can curtail that period where you are in a holding position, where you're in a holding cell until your trial. Now, you know, and her intentions were good. I truly believe so. Her intentions were good. She made it possible so that the one that was charged with a crime could either afford bail or they were released on their own recognizance. That means just on their own word. She meant well, I'm quite sure. And those that were with her meant well, because we know that if you are poor and you're placed under arrest and you're placed in a holding facility until trial, if you don't have the financial wherewithal to pay your bond, then you are held until your court date. But if someone has money, has wealth, they can pay their bond, get out, and be free until trial. She had mentioned that was not fair, that we are punishing the poor, you know, because that they are being held, you can almost say, for ransom. And so she enacted a mechanism whereby people could be out on their recognizance, just show up at court. But in the meantime, some of the people that were charged would commit another crime. What really hurt our beloved sister is that someone was out on bond, and they were speeding in a car, and they hit this young woman. She lost both of her legs. The community gasped, took a deep gasp. The question was, first, why is he out? He haven't addressed the crime that he's charged with, and he's out committing more crimes. So the pressure grew on her. Public pressure grew. And she resigned. Now, you know, accountability has to be a part of the criminal justice system. We want justice. And it's not just concern for the one that is charged. What about the victims of crime? The victims of crime. I want to know that if someone violates me, assault me or something, that they pay a price for that. That is a deterrent. A deterrent. That they pay. When I say pay, I don't just mean money, but that'll help. But there has to be a penalty. There has to be a price that lawbreakers make to protect the innocent citizens, to protect them. So and there can be no peace without justice. Even the victim wants justice. This man tore up my house. I mean, you see what I'm saying? The victim is at loss, and no one is repairing the harm that was done. So there has to be penalties, and those penalties should be broadcast, publicly mentioned, publicly stated, and sometimes publicly advertised and displayed, so that those that witness this, it'll be a deterrent for them also. You know, there's such a thing as public executions. I'm just saying. And that is a deterrent. If you see someone, they committed a heinous crime, and they are charged, found guilty, and the death penalty is imposed on them. And what, for real, I'm just saying, there should be a public witness of the punishment for that crime. That may not replace the items that were stolen or whatever, but there has to be a mechanism of enforcement. If there is no mechanism of enforcement, then we all stand to be victims and just move on. Now, we cannot continue this. Matter of fact, I don't know about Chicago, but here in St. Louis, there are people that they'll be driving their car, come up to a red light, and never stop, just blow right through the red light, blow right through the stop sign, and people have lost their lives. Some cars have been T-boned, hit. And the occupants of that car lost their lives. This happens on a regular basis. Why? Because they no longer enforce the traffic laws to the extent that they should. You see very little traffic policemen in this city, very little. And those that feel like it, they just break the law and keep on going. But there have been loss of life. Matter of fact, that's how the young lady lost both of her legs. This guy that was out on bond, he is committing another crime. He's doing almost 100 miles an hour and blow right through a red light. This young lady lost both of her legs. So there has to be accountability. A victim has to feel some sense that someone has responded to what has happened to them. You know, that's we can't get around that. We are hearing a lot of conversation about the unjust treatment of people that are accused of a crime, and that's our reality. Sometimes there is unjust treatment or an unjust finding in the court system. But at the same time, we have to walk on two legs. What about the victim? Someone hits your daughter, she lose her life, and nothing is done? There has to be a system of punishment. There has to be a price to pay for that. It has to be, and it has to be, inshallah, God willing, applied equally, because we have to stop this burst of crime that is occurring across this country. Carjackings have become almost a fad now. They are pulling pistols on people, forcing them out of their cars and taking their car and drive off and may total the car. Why is this growing like this? Because there is no system, there is no guaranteed punishment for some of these crimes. I sympathize with the victims of crime. So our criminal justice system has a lot of work to do, a lot of work to do. So that's one of the offerings, an assurance of penalty, and let everyone know that will serve hopefully as a deterrent, because honest citizens, that just doing what they do, taking care of their families, taking care of their children, and all of that. And someone comes along, kicks their front door in, robs the whole house, whatever. There has to be a consequence. If there is no consequence, then others that witness that, well, I can do the same thing. But no, he did it and he got away with it. So there has to be a guaranteed consequence to serve as a deterrent and hopefully bring some semblance of justice, some semblance of satisfaction to the victims of crime. We have to take this serious. We can't soft shoe this, because we're all laboring under and experiencing the horrendous rise of crime. There has to be, and those that are governing our lives, they are charged with protecting our lives, our lives, our person, and our possessions. Someone won't, wants you, let's say, in some countries, there's a death penalty that will be taken out on you for rape or murder. And in some countries, that penalty is they will cut off your hand or cut off your head. And it is to be done publicly so that the citizenry feels some sense of security, some sense of safety, and those that may have that inclination to commit that crime, that may work as a deterrent. say, well, no, I'm not going to, no, I'm not going to do that. No, uh-uh. Because I see what happened to Joe. I won't do that. So my concern is those that are unjustly prosecuted and those that are unjustly just left with the injury that the crime brought about. We have to be serious about this and look at it in real terms. Real, this lawlessness has to stop. There are young men walking around now. I don't know what's wrong with this government. Are they allowed to carry military style, high powered firearms? High power. I don't mean a 38 or a 22 or no. I'm talking about high powered AR-15s. And we are somewhat held hostage to this law that have been allowed, that you can walk around with a military style apparatus that can take as the idea is to take as many lives in the shortest span of time. This is very serious. And we all are victims, whether someone took anything from us or not. Our taxes go up and everything. So that's only one. Let me be careful when I say this here. That's only one of the solutions that I'm offering. There are much more, and I look forward to hear from others their take on what you are presenting this morning, Naima. Thank you, yes. My sister.
Well, thank you for your words of wisdom. You've raised some points that need to be addressed. And we've got a comment here. Our Friday and Sunday host, Beata, says, Grand Rising Queen, Kareem, you're right. But we have to elect people who think like him. Well, that's one of the things that we'll take a look at, because what are the values that we have? Whatever we see in our elected officials, they're a reflection of us. You know, we like to blame politicians, but we put them in office. Mm-hmm. We made the choices. So we cannot blame them for the actions, because they are a mirror of our own values. So we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about what would you like to see happen to people that harm you, and how would that restore what they damaged in you? And we'll present a few different ideas and see what you think. We'll be right back.
You
after
know,
this.
Not
yes. Yes.
It's
yes.
Right quick. Even if they can't replace the full value of what they did, there's the satisfaction of knowing, as a victim, knowing that I am being protected. I have a sense of security, safety and security. That's, in some cases, that's payment enough for some people. Just let me know that I'm protected in this society. I'll stop right there, my sister. Thank you.
That's a good point. I want to address that when we come back, because that's the reason some people are extreme in their calling police. And some police are extreme in their reaction, but mm-hmm. it's their misperception of what makes people safe that actually creates non-safety for people who are targeted by those who have the thought that actions are created or misbehavior is the actions of specific people who look a specific way or from a certain ethnic group or a certain side of town or a certain income. The presumption that we're keeping our society safe if we keep those people over-policed, and that hasn't worked either. But we'll talk about that when we come back. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, we want you to call us 515-605-9891. You can connect to the American Muslim 360 family, or you can call in Blog Talk Channel Female Solution, 515-605-9325, or you can call us on our on-air network. And that number is 727-731-5192. And we'll scroll those numbers across the screen. I want to hear from you as we create a justice system that restores peace. We'll be right back after this quick break, so we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment, so stay with us.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Khalida Akbar, Program Manager for American Muslim 360. Thank you for supporting the CWSC Annual End of Year Telethon to help us financially secure our intelligentsia operations. We are believer supported. Take a moment now and help us reach our $10,000 goal by making your tax-deductible contribution at CWSC.us. Click on the blue donate button located at the top right of our homepage to make a convenient, safe, and secure contribution online in whatever amount is comfortable for you. It's not the size of the contribution, but it is each of us doing our part to the best of our ability. You can make a one-time or recurring contribution, which enables us to better forecast our operating revenue, and know we have your support each month to maintain and expand our operations. If you have any difficulty at all making your gift, please call us at 910-317-0297. A representative will be happy to assist. You can also go to paypal.com to make a payment by credit card to CWSC. Our most popular reoccurring gift level is just $9.99 a month or 33 cents a day. It's a small individual amount based on all of us doing our part to ensure our intelligentsia is strong and ready to remake the world. A recurring contribution means the monthly amount is automatically deducted from your designated account to CWSC. You can cancel it anytime. Of course, while your contributions are tax deductible, it is the multiplied blessings of charity, especially during this month, that give the greatest rewards for our generosity. You can also call in your gift by phone at 910-317-0297. Include your name, telephone, and email, and a representative will assist you with making your contributions. You can also mail it in. If you make your check out to CWSC, you can mail it to CWSC Marina, M-A-R-I-N-A, Village, V-I-L-L-A-G-E, 4905 34th Street, South, number sign, 185, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33711-4511. Together, we can remake this world into a better place for all people.
There's a place where words make people, a place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, 24/7, Muslim-hosted, from religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join AM360, where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
Complaining about it doesn't make it go away. We have to create that which we desire to experience. And right now, as our wonderful co-host has expounded upon, we need to feel safe. And we're not feeling safe despite the growing arrests, imprisonments, jailings, police presence. We are still experiencing criminal behavior. Why is that? Well, let's take a look at what makes people commit crimes. It is not always the need for money, or they need a loaf of bread to feed their starving children, or they need money to buy diapers for the baby. It's not always that. Sometimes it's just the greed of wanting what other people have, and sometimes that rush of adrenaline that comes from feeling powerful. You can stick a gun in someone's face and cause them to feel fear. People bully others when somewhere in their lives they've been made to feel powerless. And so they do these heinous crimes, like as Kareem pointed out, those carjackers, some of them who don't even have a license to drive. But they like the feeling of power, being able to make someone give them a car, then go for a joyride, and they don't have a feeling that they're going to be punished or held accountable or made to restore what they've taken. Not just the car, but a person's sense of safety and security. They've traumatized someone. But, you know, just like you mentioned, what's happening there. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Almighty God mentions in the Quran a city of safety and security.
Yeah.
A city of safety and security. And that was achieved. That was achieved under the leadership and governorship of our beloved Prophet Muhammad. We pray the prayers and the peace upon him. Establishing the community and the government in the city of Medina Manawa, the city of enlightenment, they had no police force. Let me say that again. They had no police force, but it was a city of safety and security. Why? Because the citizens policed themselves.
They had a spiritual makeup
that prohibited them from committing crime. And if you witnessed a crime, every citizen was obligated to stop that person, to hold them back from committing or continuing that criminal activity. And it is described as a city of safety and security. I heard a report some years ago. There's two main streets here in St. Louis, main thoroughfares. One street is King's Highway, large street, and another street is Delmar. An elderly woman was crossing the intersection. I don't know whether it was the first of the month or whatever. And she had a basket with her groceries in it and things. Do you know a guy stopped her in the middle of the intersection, broad open daylight, and robbed her? Took her purse and robbed her. And the citizens witnessed that. And no one moved.
Fear. Fear.
See, fear is a mechanism that the powers that be, they are utilizing that to control us, to maintain power. Fear is a strong mechanism of control. There's another area here in St. Louis. I have to refer to my own surroundings. There's an area here in St. Louis that was known for crime, prostitution, robbery, you name it. It was, and when I mentioned this street, I'm quite sure if there are people on the line here in St. Louis, they will say, yes, oh, yeah, that was a hell of a street. The street was Sarah. Its name was Sarah. And Washington Boulevard was what we called the Hostro. People feared even going in that area. But when the powers that be, when they wanted to gentrify that area, when they wanted to construct upscale housing in that area, all of a sudden, the police eradicated all of that crime. You can drive through that there now, it's beautiful homes, it's so quiet and peaceful. So they can't say,
I'm sure they removed, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, it's where your priorities lie. See, so I'm just saying that there are things that we must demand of our leaders, and also there is responsibility that we must take also. I know we fear for our lives, so that means the criminal is holding us hostage in our neighborhoods, in our cities. That no snitching, snitches get stitches.
It's our fear.
Yes,
it's our fear that holds us hostage.
Yes.
And you only are held hostage when your fear of bodily harm overrides your desire for freedom, and you cannot be free as long as you're living in fear. And those who bully are those who desire the feeling of power over others who are in fear. The only way to defeat a bully is to remove your fear. But before we get to that point, let's look at the foundation of what creates the bully, what creates the wrongdoer, what creates the robber, the shooter, the assaulter, the person who creates harm. You said a very key thing that is the keys to the answer to the problem. When you have people who don't have empathy in their hearts for others, they don't have the spiritual awareness inside of them, then their behavior is out of control because it's out of their control. No one can control you. You must control yourself. And if you have to be controlled by others, that means they have to use force, which means you bring in people who are trained to use force and kill you, beat you, restrain you, jail you. That's what happens when, like you say, they decide to gentrify a neighborhood. They decide to change it from being low income to people who want to live in peace and are willing to pay to live in peace, then they will remove those people who don't have self-control by force. And it's the people who have decided to live in a way that harms others that bring that action upon themselves. But what also happens in those cases, which happens all over the country, people who may not be harming anybody also get the experience of that force that comes down on everybody. And then we get these cases where people are angry because they've been unjustly arrested, jailed, prosecuted, persecuted, and all of that. But what we have the power to do to remove all of this is to instill in people that empathy for others, that spiritual awakening that makes them choose to manage themselves and not harm others. That's really the answer. But that's not something you can do by force. You can't force spiritual awareness on people. We've had many, and we can see them all over the world, maybe religious movements, revolutions, maybe a whether it's the Catholic Church, even if in times of the spread of Islam, you might instill a government based on the religious leaders and their teachings and enforce certain rules and principles. But if the spiritual understanding is not in the hearts of the people, what you end up is a very repressive society that still doesn't change the hearts of people. And those who have in their hearts the desire to bully, they simply do it under the guise of their religion. So we know that the real change has to be the internal change in the person, which means you have mm-hmm. to raise your children with that connection to the divine and that understanding of their connection to all other living beings so that they have as the core of themselves empathy for others and a desire to do no harm. That has to be at the root of how you raise your children. So that's our goal in our upcoming parenting class. But prior to raising a generation that has as their spiritual makeup the empathy of others, we have to deal with adults who don't have any of that. And they live by the desire to enforce control over others using power, fear, bullying, weaponry. And that's where everyone is fearing that we can't have public safety and demanding more police. But you have police who also are not spiritual. So what they're bringing is not peace. They're bringing more conflict because they also are operating not to restore peace, but to feel a sense of power. So when you have people who are not spiritually aware, they're not empathetic to others, they desire a feeling of power, and they misuse authority, you don't have peace. You have a lot of imprisonment. But those who want to hurt others, they simply get the weapon to create the same kind of conflict that you saw with this elderly woman. We're out in broad daylight. She was not protected, and no one stepped in when she was bullied, when she was violated, when she was robbed, because they had fear. People are looking at what happened in, what was that, Uvalde, the school where the shooter came in and killed all those children. And people were angry because the police, the armed police, stood outside in fear and did nothing. So even then, if you have a public safety force where in the hearts of the people is fear and a desire not to be harmed, they're not going to protect you. And this is, if you look at the history of the rise of gangs, all gangs come about because people decide they want protection and they're not getting it from the officials because officials don't particularly care about their lives because either they're immigrants, they're poor, whatever the case may be. So you get street justice. You get the people who say, I'll protect you, I'll enforce justice, I'll go and give that person some pain. And that's how the gang culture arises. I mean, anybody who saw The Godfather, you know, as a matter of fact, if you saw all three segments, you saw how Don Vito Corleone rose to power because he was able to kill the man who was bullying the community. He was able to defeat the top gangster, so he became the one that everybody went to for justice. And he built an army of people who enforced justice, and that it's how all the gangs evolve. It comes out of response of people wanting safety, not feeling that the officials are going to protect them. And so those people in the community who are willing to step up and be that protector and enforcer, they gain power. But what happens? Become the bullies that create fear. So it isn't the force that's needed. It's the spiritual transformation that will bring safety. Now, many of us know this. How do you infuse that into the hearts of people? How do you create that when
There is a very simple statement that's been used, I don't know, for centuries, I'm quite sure, but have not really been truly ingested and adhered to. Love for your neighbor what you love for yourself.
Absolutely.
The idea of Tawheed. Tawheed means oneness. Oneness. That we are all interconnected. We are one humanity. And when you see the suffering of one person, you don't feel that? You don't feel any empathy? Well, you have not ingested the idea of to want for your neighbor, want for your brother, want for your neighbor what you want for yourself. I'm just saying that we have an obligation to protect each other and the community. We do. We can't just put bars around our house and we're afraid to even go and sit on the front porch. And you're right. This is an internal job that must take place. Something must happen inside, so that those that we are a part of the society. I feel you. I see what happened to you, and I empathize with you. At one time, I'm in neighborhoods that there were what we call window-raising grannies. These were elderly people that sat by the front window, the back wall, whatever, and they saw everything that would occur in the neighborhood. And they would tell it. See, why? Because this is my neighbor. That's Mr. Smith's house. They're kicking in his front door. He's my neighbor. You mean all of the men on that block won't go and defend Miss Smith's property? We have to make the logical and necessary connections with one another. There are connections that we have lost, that we are inextricably connected one to another. And that is an internal job. I agree with you. That is an internal job. And get away from this individualism. The community is a group of people, families, children. And we have to protect and hold sacred the safety and security of each other. That old adage, love for your brother, what you love for yourself, yeah, we say that. But are we willing to truly ingest that, to let that sink into our hearts and our soul? You know? So it's not just the law enforcement. It's just not City Hall. It's us as citizens. We have a responsibility as citizens in this country or your city or your block. You know, so I can't help but express the victims of the crime. You know, and I know we got a lot of work on this criminal justice system.
Yeah.
All I'm hearing is just lock them up. No. Where does the justice come into?
That's the point. Well,
the justice.
Well, we're going to take another. Yeah, absolutely. Where's the justice? Well, we're going to suggest a few things and get your comments on that when we come back, because you've made some points that need to be expounded upon. So so that we can actually create responses to crime that removes the crime, removes the criminal element from the heart of the person and restores the peace. We'll talk about that when we come back, and we'll share some comments from our listening and viewing audience. When we come back, you're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, joined by my co-host Kareem Hamid and our American Muslim 360 family on this Wednesday morning, where we are creating a justice system that restores the peace. So we will be right back after this brief break, and we invite you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be right back after this brief message, so we want you to stay with us.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dr. Aisha Kareem, CEO Emeritus for American Muslim 360 Radio. And I want to talk to you about something that strikes at the very heart of our family and community life. It's something that can stay hidden in homes and in communities for years, regardless of our faith, our religion, or our socioeconomic status. I want to talk to you about domestic abuse, violence against women in general, as well as the broader underlying issue of respect for women that the Me Too movement addresses and that helped us to see an even deeper and systemic long-standing disrespect of women at many levels of our society, from the stock room to the boardroom. To see real change, though, is to help move these injustices out of the dark and into the light. For that, we're going to need you and me, are a We Too movement in which we say no more. We must also be willing to admit that the problem can exist even in your or my community. So talk to your imam and other counselors. Hold the workshops in your community. Invite in experts to learn more and talk about it in individual conversations. We want respect for our mothers, wives, our daughters, our sisters, and for all of the women in our society. And that means equal protection and equal respect for our intellect, our work, and our total person. So, what are you willing to do? A public service message from the CWSC and AM 360.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Inshallah, when I grow up, I'm going to join CWSC. I'm going to help remake the world for you and me. I'm going to be part of MCNRD and contribute my talent, my expertise. I'm going to apply for a CWSC scholarship someday in honor of a pioneer. I pray I grew up to be a leader, a strong woman, courageous with no fear. But until that day, I need you to stand in my place and be part of the group intellect until I can join the race. Visit CWSC.us. Because together, we can remake the world. Same old, same old, same old, same old.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dapreeta Hadi, Director of CWSC Model Community National Resource Directory. With this important update, as a CWSC volunteer in the MCNRD directory, you are one of the most powerful tools to help community development. Our institutions are in need of your time, energy, and expertise to help fulfill the vision. Go to cwsc.us and register today. Your duty awaits your arrival, and we look forward to seeing you. Assalamu alaikum.
Active radio TV, and so that means you're not just watching, you are a part of the show. And we're back with our Kareem Hameen and our American Muslim 360 family. We're going to share some of our comments from our listeners, and we've got our Monday morning mindfulness host Zelda says, Grand Rising, oh wise one. Yes, Brother Kareem, very wise, and says, our humanity is in jeopardy. Let us all awaken to our internal humanity that cares for our neighbors so we don't wind up as victims. And that's part of what we have to instill in terms of what we raise our children as part of their value system. Not only empathy for others, but responsibility for others. We are a collective. And if I'm not safe, you're not safe. And if you're not safe, I'm not safe. So I need to care about you, and you need to care about me. And we need to protect each other so that all of us can live in peace. And she says, we all remember that nosy neighbor who sat in the window on the sitcom 227 from the 80s. Yes, you saw everything that went on in the neighborhood. And all of us got one. I believe her name was Pearl. Yes, we all got one that sits in
yep.
the That's the real neighborhood security. That neighbor who always keeps an eye out. And we need those because they're keeping us safe. She said, Imam Kareem is right on point. Teach. Yes. So Zelda's here giving you kudos, Brother Kareem, for sharing
praise
that wisdom.
Praise the Lord.
So now I want to throw out this thought. If a person does not have empathy in their heart, like that young man who stole from that grandmother, that elder, something I
in broad open daylight now. He had no fear. He had no fear.
And he had no remorse. So what has to happen is he has to learn remorse, not fear of being punished because he did it, but real remorse for what he did. What if his sentence, once he's captured by all the people who saw it and make sure he's removed from the streets, his sentence is to serve time serving elderly people who've been abused, which of course he'd have to do with supervision, but he'd have to listen to their stories of how they were hurt, assaulted, how it hurt them, how it hurt their families. And he had to serve their needs, whether it be the work that he did, had to pay for the woman that he hurt. He had to, his sentence, if he's sentenced to, say, 10 years, that would be 10 years of his income going toward this woman who he harmed. And 10 years of him listening to the stories of elders who were abused, robbed, and hurt, and him having to serve them in some capacity, whether it's going to visit them in the hospital and, doing something, reading to them or spending time with them, listening to them, would build empathy in him for how people are hurt by insensitive people. And his labor having to pay damages to the woman that he robbed. And a period of time would have to be spent in doing these things until it's determined that his heart has changed, not because he is angry or getting beat up by guards in prison, but because he is, number one, standing the hurt that he's caused by he's hearing multiple stories of people whose lives have been destroyed by theft, crime, robbery, assault, and how that damaged them, how that damaged their families, what they lost, and his labor, his efforts, his work is going to pay not the state, but the victim, the person that he hurt. If someone...
Naima, that's what they are doing. They are sentencing people to community service. You know, I guess that it has its place. Community service is cleaning up along the side of the highway or cutting down some bushes or overgrowth or something like that. But the victim, the actual victim that you are pointing to, I think that is most important.
Absolutely.
They need some satisfaction, or at least made partially whole, if not totally whole. So I'll just stop right there, the idea of community service.
Well, see, that's the thing. You can have people that are cleaning up trash, and that's fine. That helps the city. That helps their budget. They don't have to pay workers union wages to do that. But it's not changing the heart of the person who hurt someone. And that's why I'm suggesting that what has to happen is there has to be a connection between what they did that was harmful and the service that they're providing, so that they understand the harm that they did. If they robbed someone and they traumatized someone by pointing a gun to them, forcing them to give up their car, their money, their possessions, whatever they did, taking a broom and cleaning up the highway isn't going to sensitize them to the trauma that they caused. So there has to be an environment, and you know, we've seen this. As a matter of fact, I think Oprah did a thing where she had those who had committed rape and were in prison. They had to sit and listen to victims of rape explain the trauma, how it destroyed their lives, and you know, they had to sit and listen to that, and you know, of course, what we saw on the show that she produced is that the person who had committed the crime actually felt remorse and sadness, in some cases even cried, because they, it's like they got it. They understood, this is a human being that I've damaged. But it didn't, I mean, of course, the show is only maybe, what, an hour long, and maybe that segment's only 20 minutes. We know that a long time for a person to empathize. There are a lot of different ways that you can help restore a person, or create in a person who may never have had it, empathy for others, so that they don't have a desire to harm others. That's what has to be created, is the empathy that this person is missing for their fellow human beings. And speaking of human beings, there is a program that I saw in one of the prisons where they gave each prisoner a cat, I think from a shelter, and they had to take care of the cat. And I think it may be, you know, an animal that had been abused and that sort of thing. They did the same thing with dogs. They paired up a prisoner with somebody who with a dog that had been abused, and they had to care for that animal. And in caring for that abused animal, they learned empathy because they themselves had been abused, the reason why they had no empathy for others. So taking care of this animal in their care, it created in them, or restored in them, the human quality that they were missing which was the ability to empathize and desire not to hurt someone. So that's the quality that has to be instilled in someone who causes harm. It's beyond public service, because true service is to serve those that you hurt. And part of the service is understanding how you hurt them so that you can empathize and desire not to hurt. If you look at the situation that you shared with us earlier about what happened during the time of the prophet, peace be upon him, and the transformation that occurred inside the people that made the city safe, that's the only thing that makes us safe. It's the transformation inside the people so that they don't have a desire to commit a crime. But we're living in a time where people are committing crimes, and locking them up isn't changing what was broken inside of them. So when they get out, they commit more crimes. That's not making us safe. Policing is usually something that happens after the fact. Okay, well, the police come in and they arrest you and you get punished. But the damage that you did, the trauma that you caused, that person is still suffering that. And they do have a victim program where you can go and get counseling and trauma counseling and all that. But the person who created the trauma still does not have inside of them the empathy for other human beings that would keep them from repeating that act. That is what has to happen in order for us to become safe. We have to repair the damaged people that are causing the pain in other people. And they have to be instilled with an empathy for what they did and a knowledge of how they hurt people so that they don't have a desire to hurt people anymore. They have to actually feel the pain that they caused, not by them being pained by somebody else. Okay, we send you to jail, the guards beat you up, I'm happy now, you're being caused pain. Well, that's, you're still not understanding what you did to me. You need to hear from me how I was traumatized, how maybe I lost my job, how maybe I lost my home, how maybe I can't sleep at night, I'm having nightmares, I'm reliving this thing you did. You need to hear that and hear that and hear that and hear that, and we need to have a conversation about it. And you need to have to talk to me and face me and spend time with me because you damaged me, and you have to hear about it and hear about it and hear about it. And then the work that you do, you have to pay me with your labor for what you did. You're restoring me directly by what you did. I'm getting paid by you because you're the one who harmed me. And you're experiencing that as part of your restoration, as opposed to you being away someplace and I don't see anymore and I know you're in jail, but I'm still damaged and you still don't really care. So that's what I'm putting forth as a thought to make,
you know, Naima,
the justice system really create justice. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yes, ma'am. There is a deeper application that must be enacted. You know, we do things that are wrong. No one catches. No one saw us. We think we got away with that. We'll do it again. And you didn't get caught. Oh, okay. I'm getting away with this here. But there is another designation. And we can't leave the Creator from out of this, the affairs of human beings. Out of Almighty God, highly praised be he mentions any who believe in God. Now here's another important part. Any who believe in God and the last day. the day of accountability. All matters shall be looked into, be they small or large. There's a day of accounting coming. People call it the day of judgment. You think you got away in this reality that we're all dwelling in, but there's a higher reality. There's a higher reality. And the Creator loves us, and He will hold us accountable for the actions that we, that to me, that is the core of it. That's the core of it. That I'm going to have to face judgment. If we can reach the human being at that level, then the human being has the power to manage and police themselves, because I know Almighty God is going to hold me to account. No one caught me, but I didn't get away. There's a last day coming. It's called the day of judgment. It's not enough just to believe in God. You can ask anybody that. They go, yeah, I believe in God. But do you believe in the day of accountability? Do you believe in the day of judgment? That is real. That's not a hoax. It's not a fantasy. It's not something just, it's not just a fanciful tale that's being stated. You will be brought to reality. If we can reach the human being at that level, and they truly ingest that, they hold themselves accountable, I know God is going to hold me accountable for what I've done. Let me seek forgiveness from Him now and hopefully go back and make some type of restitution, some kind of making that person whole, or never doing that act again, because I know He who created me is going to hold me to account for what I've done. That is the core of civil behavior. I'll stop right there, my sister.
So, Bob, now before we take a break, I want us to think about that. Because we're here on this earth where people are of various levels of awareness. I could say consciousness. Awareness that we are all connected to the divine. Awareness that we are all connected to each other. Awareness that what we do to another, we're doing to ourselves. Awareness that when we leave these physical bodies and the confines of a physical life, we will see clearly. And we will see and feel the pain that we have caused others. And it's not pleasant. And there are those who are aware of this. And so they live each day in that awareness. And that is what motivates them to manage themselves so that they cause no harm. That's a state of being based on their awareness. And as a result, wherever they are, wherever they go, they bring peace because they desire no harm. They manage their behavior. They manage their actions that affect others. And so in their presence, no one has fear. there are those people. And then there are the others that are unaware. They may or may not profess a particular belief, but they don't, on the inside, believe to the degree that they act according to a realization that they're going to feel and experience the harm they've caused others. And so their behavior may be damaging and harmful and hurtful and destructive. And in addition to that, they feel if they can get away with it because either no one saw it or no one has the courage to step forward and speak about it, or no one has the power to physically stop them, they have no hesitation to repeat an act that harms someone else, be it theft, be it physical assault, be it any manner of violation, because inside of them, there is no awareness that they're going to experience the harm that they've caused others. So you have two types of people on the planet, the aware and the unaware. Aware must live among the unaware. And as long as the unaware are unaware, there is not a feeling of safety. So how do those who are aware and self-managed and desiring to harm no one, how do they make the places where they live cities of peace? Because they are living among the unaware. Those who rob, those who steal, those who beat, those who harm. We must help the unaware become transformed. And whatever punishment is given, whatever consequences are given, those consequences must lead to their awareness, their restoration of their own inner peace, their God consciousness, their realization of all the things you just said. If that doesn't happen, then whatever happens to them is not going to restore our peace, because it isn't going to change their behavior. Them simply being punished after the fact by being sent away and locked up, well, you know, they may work and work for these various corporations that use prison labor, and they make some money for the state, which keeps that prison industry being a nice business. But the people who are harmed are still traumatized and hurt, and the people who hurt them are still insensitive. So if we don't fix that element, then all the policing in the world isn't going to restore peace.
We have to call here.
The damaged human being. So let's take that caller before we take a break.
Erica, 810-399. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Assalamu alaikum to you, Imam Kareem Hamid, and to you, Naima Lake, and to the AM360 family. This is the Preetha Abdul Hadi calling from Flint, Michigan. And I tell you, a very interesting and concerned for myself topic that you all are having this morning. And, you know, one of the things that Naima, you were just saying about courage, you know, this society that we live in, the people, really, it's like overall the people have lost the courage to stand up, because Everybody got a gun. You can mean good, but you got to tiptoe around everybody, because you don't know what you might bump them or say that's going to agitate them to the point now they got, and they carrying a gun, and now they pulling a gun. They're shooting. They're in an angry state of something that may, like they say, their job or something going on in their family. And we don't know these things. And we're peaceful people walking out into the side, like Brother Kareem was saying about the woman crossing the street. She going on by her daily life. in business not by anyone, but because some is a bully out there, and everybody's afraid to attack the bully because it might be bullies around him that is thinking the same way that he's thinking, and now you call yourself trying to protect the woman crossing the street, and you know, you got everybody on you because you're trying to do good, but the mentality around them and the things that are happening in their life, and they got guns, well, we all against you now. Leave that man alone. You know, we can do this. You know, we gotta get rid of these guns. And the, I know it's not the guns per se, it's the people and the mentality. But the way that this society is letting it be is everybody have a right to have a gun. And they claim that they are looking out for those that may have, what do you say, mental problems or mental situations going on. And so they say, well, this person here can't have a gun because he done, as he was coming along, he had something to do with mental health, you know. But that's not even working. Because I've actually seen people that have been prescribed, if you would, or diagnosed with mental issues, a problem, and they were still able to get themselves a gun. So some kind of way, I know it's the people, but first of all, unarm all these people. And I know people are afraid to be unarmed because they say, well, if we get unarmed and then the police is armed and you got this mentality of vigilante officers and things of that nature, so it's not right to take our guns as citizens and then they have their guns and want to carry out their animosity on us as the society. But I think overall, now this is just my thinking, I think overall if we could come to some type of solution in terms of getting order and some of these guns out of the hands of a lot of people that don't need them, we'd be much better off. But now let me tell you what else we got to think about. And this is not trying to put my thing on nobody coming up in this country, but we given an influx of these, you know, people coming in from other countries, and a lot of time they fleeing from their country because they done messed up so bad in their country, and we just letting them in by droves over here in this country on us, and this is only hurting our society. So that's just my thinking with you all having this topic this morning. Some kind of way, I know we need to help those that have the mental health, but some kind of way we got to get some of these guns up out of here. Everybody got a gun. For what? You know, that's just my thinking. Thank you so kindly for allowing me.
Yeah, before you leave, and I'm grateful for your thoughtful commentary. I was looking at a program yesterday on YouTube. And it focused on the drug cartels in Central America and Mexico. I would ask all of us to look at that, and you will see why people are fleeing those countries. The gangs have took over. The government seems to almost be powerless. They are well-armed, and they are very ruthless. And they flee that village, or they flee that country for the sake of their lives and the lives of their children. Let me inform us about the island of Haiti. There will have to be, if I'm not mistaken, that there is a military force that will be sent to Haiti to restore
some semblance of government. The gangs have just took over Haiti. So these people aren't coming just because they can get government benefits. That might be part of it, but that's a small scrimture in connection with what is happening in Central and South America. Do yourself a favor. Go on YouTube. Just type in cartel. And you will see why these people are risking their lives and the lives of their children. They are fleeing death. I mean, it is horrendous. They have just took over. I'm just saying, you know, we have to truly empathize with those that are fleeing for their lives. And let me say this, too, that, you know, what really endeared me to Imam Warsadin Muhammad, may Allah forgive him his sins and grant him the heaven and the high station in heaven, the paradise. This was early in his leadership. And some groups was opposing him because of the changes that he was making. And these were very dangerous people. He was informed, look, it's men out there carrying guns. This is before he came out to speak. And he thanked that sister for telling him that. He went out to speak. And he said, I hear that there are those among you, men, carrying guns in here. He said, but let me tell you something. There isn't a gun made that can kill me if it's the wish of Almighty God Allah that I live. Allah controls life and death. He controls life and death, not us. I'm just saying. If you don't have anything you're willing to die for, then you have nothing to live for. I'm just saying. Nobody can take my life if it's Almighty God's will that I live. That's faith. We have to trust God.
Yes, sir.
Allah says, stand up boldly for justice, not mealy-mouth. You know, I speak on the air concerning what is happening in the Democratic Republic of Congo, Sudan, the Palestinian issue. And, you know, some people may say, oh, Kareem, wait a minute now. Wait a minute now. Can I lighten up? No, God says, stand up boldly for justice. For justice. That's what we have to do. I'm just saying, no one can take your life, Depreta, if it's God's will that you live. No one has the power to do that.
Absolutely.
We have to understand that. And don't be.
That's right. And the believer has to know that even if his life is taken by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that being done to him, it's a better situation ahead for him.
You better. And here's one more thing. The innocent that are killed, and it's a lot of innocent people being killed at this time.
Yes, sir.
Almighty God says they go immediately to the paradise, immediately. There is no day of judgment for them. They go immediately to the paradise that God has prepared for us. We have
and
to understand these things.
Yes, sir. And that's why it's our duty as believers and Muslims, believing Muslims, believing Christians, to come together and make sure that the word, that the world is filled with the word, and encouragement toward God, that the enemies of God, you know, like you say, we have no fear against them, and that the enemies of God will recognize that they can't fight with God, you know, and hopefully, you know, that when they recognize this, that they will come to a better sight and insight of how they're managing themselves and being a part of this world. You're absolutely right, Brother Imam. And we just keep praying for them. We keep doing the right of what we can do right. You know, I think about a lot of time about Brother Malcolm X, and may Allah bless that brother with the mercy and forgiveness in paradise. And, you know, you look at that scene, and when he come out to do his speech that day, he felt something, but he knew he had to go on and go, because this mm-hmm. was the work of God. Whatever takes place is going to be mm-hmm. a blessing in this life as well as the one to come forth. And so he went right on. He went right on doing
anything
that happened.
Anything yes, that occurred, it is either mm-hmm. God's will or God allows it to happen. We have to have 100% faith, 100% belief and faith.
Right.
The reward is wonderful.
And we got to trust our Lord.
Paradise is real. But also, the fire is real. The hell fire, God says, wa nur el haqqa. That translates into, and the fire is reality. It is real. It's not just a fact.
So let me throw this thought out there that both of you all have expounded upon, which is fear of death.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is what paralyzes people from speaking up, that is truly a greater imprisonment than one who is mm-hmm. physically imprisoned. So mm-hmm. if there's anything that our spiritual leaders have taught us, the great spiritual masters that have lived among us have taught us, those who have inspired the scriptures that are now holy books that we follow, if there's anything that we should have learned and ingested and made a part of our own lives, is the understanding that there is no death. There's merely transition back to spirit. So if
mm-hmm.
we have no fear of that, then we are not capable of being bullied by those who are lacking awareness of God. And as the imam said, if it's not my time, if it's not meant for me to go, you can't kill me. I don't care how many guns you have. And that's real. Because we come mm-hmm. here for a purpose and for a time, and we're not.
Naima, I think you're on mute. Naima, I think your call is dropped. I have her mic open. If you can hear me, Naima, you lost audio. Okay, in the meantime, we have another. All right, yes, she has hung up and she's going to call back in. We have another caller on the line, and I thank you, Depreta, for your insightful commentary this morning. Praise be to Allah.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Kane.
Yes, ma'am. Error code 334-419. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Assalamu alaikum. Michael Hameen, Jacksonville, Florida. Yes, you know, we have strategies in the Quran and in the life of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. One that came to mind where it's reported that upon hearing about the death of Prophet Muhammad, Umar had what we might describe in 21st century terms, he had a break, an emotional breakdown, and he was threatening any believer that said that Prophet Muhammad had died. And Umar set as a model, in my opinion, not Umar, Abu Bakr, upon hearing about these threats that Umar was giving out, that he would kill anyone that said that Prophet Muhammad had died. Umar didn't address him directly. In fact, he didn't get close to him. He was at another, according to the report, as I understand it, he was at another position inside of the masjid where this was taking place, as I understand it, and he called to the people. So he used an indirect approach to correct the problem. You know, sometimes you can't talk to certain people because of your sensitivity.
Michael, I have opened up the mic.
I'm Barbara.
Now.
I'm Cheryl.
Okay.
And I'm
She's
Naima.
Doing a public
We're
service now.
Mom.
Okay.
Right, go ahead, Mike.
So, you know, and we're told by Prophet Muhammad, in order to correct the wrong, we're told to hold our brothers back from the wrong, brothers and sisters back from wrong, and that there are three approaches in terms of correcting wrong, using our hands, you know, our physical influence to correct the wrong, to speak out against it, or to hate it, not support it in our heart, you know. In other words, you know, if there's danger, Allah doesn't look for you to throw your life away. You have to be strategic, you know, in terms of whether or not, you know, this is a situation where I must stand up. You know, not to fear our mortality, the possibility of us being beat up or killed, you know. And it makes a difference when you project that, you know, I'm aware of what the consequences are, but I'm not afraid, but I'm not a fool either, you know. You know, so it also takes collective efforts. Imam here in Jacksonville, we have Imam Yahya Abdullah. When he was in, I'm not sure whether it was Florida or Texas, but he formed a group of men that were qualified to handle weapons. And they went into very dangerous parts of town, but not to start a gun battle or anything, but to be armed against any type of retaliation in regards to what they were saying. They were showing concern for people, undisciplined people. And we have to be aware. There's some people that weren't raised in a situation where, you know, they can respond other than with savagery. You know, they weren't raised in an environment to control their emotions, and you know, they have this an exaggerated sense of respect. Where, you know, if you step on my shoes or whatever, you know, something that might be trivial to many of us, they're willing to take your life for it, you know. And I'll stop there. But, you know, we got to be strategic.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Praise be to Almighty God. Okay, let me open up Naima's mic. Assalamu alaikum,
yeah.
Naima.
So,
well,
you
know, I'm
not about believing what I'm saying. Go to that word, Luke 17:21, and read that and realize that heaven is on earth. And regardless of all these hoaxes, newscasts, and all this negative, the devil gonna do that. That's the devil. A lot of times, you see people die, you see accidents. Those things are Hollywood. They're hoaxes. Now some of it's real, but a lot of it, they keep that in your mind every day. Chaos, disorder. They keep that in your mind. But when you when I was connected to this paradise on earth, now living it, that stuff don't bother me because I see what they're doing.
Well, that is the truth. And this is Kufi from Chicago. We're going to see if we can squeeze another call before we go. We're back with our American Muslim 360 family. He has pointed out a truth that if you're aware of it, you're living it, because the kingdom of heaven is it is within you, and it is a state of being. And it is something you take with you everywhere you go, and it is what governs what you allow to come into your mind, heart, and spirit. And if you're allowing fear to be ingested in you, you're going to live in fear, which is certainly hell that you're creating because you're choosing to put your attention on the hell. So let's go to area code 872-289. You got about a minute.
Admiral Nelson Bay speaking.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, how wonderful it is, Sister Naima and Brother Hakeem. I forget what
Kareem.
Your name is.
Kareem, yes, Kareem. Brother Kareem.
Yes, sir. I am finally, inshallah, going to be getting back to my house at 9110 Paxton. And I'd love John Alexander, your cameraman, to be there to videotape when I get into the back of the house.
Well, I tell you what I'll do. I'm sure he loves your promotion of his business, his photography business, very successful. I'll make sure that I connect you two so that you all can work out a deal and make that happen. We thank you so very much for all that you do. And for those who are seeking a state of inner peace, if you are holding on to fear of death, then you become subject to bullying. And I'm not saying that you should not protect your physical well-being, but what I am saying is that if you keep obsessing about other people's acts of violence, you draw it to you. And that's a spiritual science we'll talk about on another show. Energetically, how you repel acts of violence. Those who are aware and God conscious, that means conscious of our connection to the Creator and to each other, we project an energy that repels violence. And it keeps us in a state of inner peace. But there are those who are creating disorder. And they have to be helped to become spiritually aware. And what we do to them when they create disorder will determine whether or not they ever reach that point of spiritual awareness. If they don't, then their presence will disturb the peace. So we have to help our brother and sister that are living in a state of unawareness. And the way we help them is for all of us to become those active, involved people. If you see something, say something. And then all of us actively involved in the protection of each other. And then all of us actively involved in raising the consciousness of those who are creating disorder. But that's a process that takes some time. And Brother Kareem, as you gave us the example earlier of the city of peace that is possible to create, we can only do that when we have peace within ourselves. So we've got time for a last wrap-up comment before we go, unless you've got a call you want to squeeze in, Brother Kareem.
Well, I don't see anyone at this time.
Well, we certainly do thank all of you all for participating in this conversation. It's not going to be the last, because we're going to bring in future some various places where they've created programs that are helping to transform the lives of those who have served time and during their time in prison were in fact transformed, is what we want to see happen among our human family.
We want to remake the world.
We want to remake the world. Absolutely. So we thank you for all that you have done. Thanks to our hosts. Thanks to our callers. Thanks to those who have lent their commentary on our Facebook and YouTube channel. Join us tomorrow. We'll be back with Shop with Zoe. And we invite all of you all to join us and call in and comment and be with us on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif. Until tomorrow, continue to shine your light.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show.
Continuously does this. Let me hang up, Naima's. Thanks, praise be to Allah. So, Alhamdulillah, we are grateful to all of you that attend the Female Solution, and we are grateful for your input and your insights, sharing it here on the Airways of American Muslim 360 on the Female Solution platform. I am Kareem Hamid, radio station manager for American Muslim 360, and we definitely appreciate your participation. We came to you this morning with the greetings of peace. We leave you this morning with the greetings of peace. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of Almighty God be upon you and upon us all. May we purify our intentions, keep our hearts right, remain regardful of Almighty God, Allah, and remain grateful for what Allah has done for us, for what Allah is doing for us, and what he shall do for us. We've got to be thankful. I bring you now the voice of Abdul Rahman Hatim. We got to be thankful.
Early in the morning, seeing a friend, milk fresh fruit coffee as I stumble down the stairs, tiptoe by the bedroom where my children sleep. 25 years later, I still pray my Lord their souls in keep. Grab my teeth, grab my hat and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck and off the work I go. But I gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
the best that I can. Try and make a difference, cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and little helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be
grateful for my life and all the things he's given me that make my life my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy, he lives down the street, who wants to grow to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough and he tries to understand. He said, "Miss, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand?" Well, I think about the days gone by and the things my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, you gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
you gotta do the best that you can, try and make a difference in any way you can. You gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
you gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Go back to Cubs, and I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere, and our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for their family. But they gotta be alright, they gotta do the best that they can, try to make a difference any way they can. They've got to be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful,
gotta be,
they gotta be grateful for their lives and all the things he's given them that make their life for the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Say they gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
grateful for their lives and all the things
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.